Can you believe they let us make a podcast?
Yes.
We won't be able to make a podcast if you keep interrupting.
Oh, fucking hell.
I didn't even realize you were about to
You
start.
Know what you did.
I didn't mean to do it that way, but it worked perfectly.
It did.
His mouth was open.
Fry is a natural at it. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'll let you open the podcast.
Yeah. Shut up. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Hey, James, Watch This. And I'm James. Oh, hold
and
on.
And I'm Russ.
Wait, no, hold on. I fucked that up right after. Let me try that and one I'm more Russ. Time. Nope.
I'm Fry.
All right. Sorry.
Sorry.
We just have the giggles today. God damn it. Are we going to start this podcast? Or
yeah, we are. We're totally super going to.
Warning. This podcast contains spoilers, but you shouldn't care. Welcome to Hey James, Watch This, a celebration of mediocrity. In this, and indeed every episode, Russ and Fry will try to convince their friend James why he should watch an absolutely unnecessary film. Hey James, Watch This.
Hi everybody, welcome to Hey James, Watch This. I'm James.
And I'm Russ.
And I'm Fry.
And I want to talk about a cult.
A cult.
Occult. The movie that I watched. Let me tell you, it's been a long time since I watched a movie from somebody who sort of gets Lovecraft without agreeing with Lovecraft. Which is the best possible place to be, because one should never agree with any of Lovecraft's views.
What's that cat's name? What's that cat's name?
Howard, you can't call your cat that, man. I know he had some friends who were like also racist, but they were like, dude, Howard, like you're a little bit off the end there, buddy. What was it? He was horrified when he found out he was like part Welsh or something.
Italian.
Oh, Italian. That's what.
Yeah. There was like one WAP from fucking 85 centuries ago, and it's like, Mother of God, the spaghetti sauce runs in my veins.
God. I was looking at lineages of royalty the other day, and if there's one thing you don't want, it's pure blood. Let me tell you something. Oh boy, those chins and noses get wild. Anyway, a cult. I really, really liked this movie, with the caveat that it should have ended about 10 seconds earlier than it did.
Yeah, I'm ignoring that last.
Yeah,
bit.
If you look away from this movie before the very last scene, it's a really, really, really good movie. And even if you don't buy into like kind of the supernaturally stuff that's going on, the stuff that the people are doing in this movie, like, they're interesting characters and horrible people. This guy is just convinced that blowing up a train station is going to send him to heaven, basically.
And all the film crews like, we should film this.
Yeah, yeah. And the film crew starts off going, maybe we should do something about it. But the cameraman kind of starts, basically joins the cult.
Great.
It's wild. So even if you don't like the supernatural stuff, it's a really good character study. I really enjoyed this. This is how you make a Lovecraftian movie. This is how you do it. You know, you show indistinct shapes that you caught on camera, which, I mean, except for one kind of near the end, they could kind of just be anything. Like, there's no guarantee that, like, they're just blurry little
They could be
spots.
Eye floaties.
Yeah, yeah, they could literally be eye floaties. Like,
there's right ways to watch movies. Like, if you watch Dark City, 1997, you leave the sound off until Kiefer Sutherland's character appears on screen. Then you turn the sound back on. Mm-hmm. That makes it a 10 times better movie. With Hereditary, when he falls out of the window, the movie ends there. That's where the movie ends. In A Cult, at the very end, when he re-enters the restaurant, the movie ends there.
Yes. I agree. If you decide to watch this movie, and I would recommend it, it's pretty fun. Just as soon as at the very end, after the incident, when he walks back into the restaurant, I would even say, like, when the camera drops to the floor would be even an okay place, as long as you don't wait longer than that. As soon as the camera hits the floor, just stop it. And that's how it should have been. I have a theory about why this happens so often to good movies, where they go just a little too long. I think the director has this vision, this perfectly, extremely terrifying vision of oh, and then at the end you find out the character's in hell. And that was the entire impetus for the whole movie. And then they make the movie, but it's really hard to step back from your own stuff and go, actually, it would be better without the original thought behind it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know, 4.5 out of 5. I really enjoyed it. It's
damn, nice. That's wild.
I have no criticism. It's like a director in Japan was like, let's see, who's this guy in America? James. I'm going to make a movie just for him. That's what it feels like. It's like right up my alley. So anyway, good stuff. What do we have today, gents?
Creature feature.
Creature feature. Shall we play the game?
We shall.
She's upset, but 100%, 100%, that's legit. Pat Barry's going crazy.
Oh, Pat Barry's losing his mind. Oh, my goodness, that front leg kick was nasty. Well,
Man, imagine doing like play. Shit, I lost.
God damn. I mean, we could just roll 3 coins and, you know, best 2 out of 3 or something.
No, this is the best.
Oh, man. Fantastic. Yes. Well, Fry, are you going to go first or second today?
I am going to go first.
All right.
Before I tell you about my movie.
Yeah.
We were having a little discussion before the recording started.
We were discussing what constitutes a creature feature.
And you specifically didn't want to include Alien in that.
That's correct.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so I understand logically that this is a letter of the law, spirit of the law kind of difference.
Okay.
Technically, Alien is a creature feature because it features a creature. But it's such a good movie in so many other ways that I don't think that's a good way to describe it. It's a tense survival, you know, kind of, they're stranded in a sense on a spaceship, right? They're all alone. It starts picking them off. Like, I think there's better aspects of that movie than just the monster. And the monster benefits from not being seen particularly well until the very end. Like, you get glimpses of it.
Well, I have my own definition for creature features.
What's that?
Number one, it can't be a human thing. So,
yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Number two,
like a werewolf?
Werewolves are okay, but werewolves are werewolf movies.
Yeah, that's a sub genre of creature movies.
I get in the same way that vampires and werewolves are two sides of the same coin, and they're not quite creature features.
Allow me to quibble. I think it depends on how the vampire is presented.
Yeah, sometimes they look less.
Sometimes they're incredibly monstrous, and sometimes they are, like, for example, the last voyage of the what was that movie we watched recently?
Demeter.
Yeah, The Last Voyage of the Demeter, I would argue is. I would argue it is, whereas the Dracula movie is not. That's the distinction that I would
make. Interesting.
Because you never see him unless he's a monster for the most part.
Well, I wanted us to talk about Alien because it ties really well into my movie.
Oh, okay.
So you said Alien is too good, and it's certainly too good for this podcast.
Yes, absolutely. We shouldn't even be talking about it.
My movie today is Forbidden World.
Oh, okay.
And it was generally panned by critics as a cheap, exploitive imitation of the movie Alien.
Okay, now you have my attention. However, before we dive into this movie, I would like you to tell Russ the two movies you pitched to me initially that I think were absolutely in this category, but just tell Russ. I'm curious what he thinks.
Let's see. I was looking at Black Sheep
and Them,
1954.
And I was like, I understand that it's an older movie, but of all the people you know, I have definitely seen Them.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not familiar with Black Sheep, though.
Black Sheep is a lot of fun, Russ. You should absolutely watch it.
This isn't the movie with David Spade and Chris Farley.
No.
It's a New Zealand film about killer sheep, and you should absolutely watch it. It's a lot of fun. Really good creature effects on that one. I enjoyed it. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Fry.
So back to Forbidden World.
Yes.
In Forbidden World, they've got this genetics lab on another planet.
Awesome. And always a good start.
Always a great start. And they've been doing genetic research because they are trying to make a perfect food source to save humanity.
Now, okay, first of all, let me just say right off the bat, I appreciate this because I thought for sure it was going to be a super soldier project. So I am already appreciating the difference. I think, as we all know from movies, every portal goes through hell and every super soldier project is doomed to fail spectacularly.
Except for the Captain America project. That one worked out pretty well.
If Captain America were real, he would be very racist.
Also, that Spartan project from Halo, that worked out
well. Yeah, that worked out great.
I mean, my understanding in the lore is that the humans are kind of fucked no matter what they do. But
Doomslayer, he's a super soldier.
Yeah, but that wasn't a project. He just got good.
So they are trying to make the perfect food source, not a super soldier.
Perfect.
And
I love
it. They've discovered this bacteria, this microorganism called Proto-B. And it just reproduces like crazy. And so they're like, okay, if we can combine this with something we can eat, then we'll have something we can eat that reproduces like crazy and we'll solve all of our food problems.
When you said genetically engineered food source, I was just imagining like a quivering lump of jelly.
They were trying to make like alien rabbit hybrids. But they were trying it with just whatever they had around.
Yeah.
And so this is revealed later. But of course, I love the logic of this.
Sorry, go ahead.
Of course, they tried an alien-human hybrid, and that's what created our monster.
Perfect. Awesome. So Russ, what were you going to say?
So is this that Rick and Morty episode where the guy gets transported to the other dimension and has to fuck everything and then eat its babies to survive?
Well, that is... It's not that, but that's a funny comparison.
Hey Fry, can you read that? Can you read that awesome tagline again? I really enjoyed it.
A cheap, exploitive imitation of the movie Alien.
I would like us to treat that tagline as a subtitle if we can. So let's just go on with that knowledge.
And to be clear, that is not the movie's tagline. It is just a quote from Wikipedia.
No, but we should treat it as a subtitle for the film, is what I'm saying.
We should. So they call in for help because they're just a bunch of scientists and they've accidentally created a monster and they need some help.
Oops, all teeth.
So our main character, Mike Colby, flies in. Mm-hmm. He is one of the galaxy's best troubleshooters. That is never explained further. It's just said so that we know that it's true.
It'd be funny if they sent the IT guy in and he's like, holy shit, I don't know how to
do
any of
this. I don't do any of this shit.
I don't even have a gun.
Named after my favorite marbled cheese.
And they capture the alien right away.
Sweet.
And he's like, all right, well, cool. Let's kill it and then I can go home. And they're like, no, we've got to research it. So they keep it alive.
We have to research.
With extraordinarily predictable results.
Yeah.
extraordinarily predictable. Thank you for that.
Did you know that in science it's impossible to research things that are dead? They have to be alive.
They have to be alive, yes.
Yeah. That's why we don't know fucking anything about dinosaurs.
It also wasn't in, like, a cage or a pen or anything.
What?
It was in a hibernation chamber with a door that just opens from either side with no lock.
So like the Doomslayer.
Apparently.
So smart. These are the best scientists.
Oh man.
So it gets out, it starts killing people. Mm-hmm. And it has a really interesting way of killing people. Because it injects them with the proto-B bacteria microorganism thing, which starts changing their cells into a food source for the monster.
Oh, like a fly, kind of. Or a spider.
So the people it injects slowly gelatinize with some great horrifying practical effects as they... and this is 1982, and so it's all practical effects.
Awesome. Okay, hold on. I gotta ask.
Yeah.
How does this monster look?
Well, it starts off looking like... Imagine like a stingray, but smaller, like almost the size of a napkin. And it can just kind of jump between people and bite their necks.
Okay.
So the killer rabbit from Holy Grail.
Yes. The fight scene looks like that.
The props guys are just hucking it at people, and they have to pretend to,
it's got me. And then that
sounds pretty good.
But they tell us it's a constantly genetically mutating organism. And so they call it the metamorph. And so it winds up morphing into like a giant crab with a very clearly inspired by Alien face. Like, oh my super God. Long, super wide mouth, big sharp teeth, all black.
I am deeply excited to mention that the three leads, Mike Colby, Tracy Baxter, and Dr. Barbara Glaser, all of their actors are still alive. So what this means is we can have a Forbidden World reunion where play the role of Dr. Gordon Hauser.
Oh, man. That'd be amazing. You know, every so often on this podcast, we find a film. Sometimes it's a hidden gem that people didn't find. Sometimes it's a really stupid movie that does need to exist, and or didn't need to be made, but now that it exists, it must be preserved. And I feel like this is one of those movies that was fated to appear on this podcast.
It really was.
If the universe has a will, this is a really stupid will, but we are experiencing it. So anyway, Fry, please continue.
Oh, how them tits looking, Fry?
Oh yeah, there's titties. There's some pretty good titty scenes.
I forgot it's an 80s movie with women in it, naturally.
Women in space often shower together to make things
more efficient, quicker. Fry. More efficient is the word you're looking for.
And they also have plot-relevant conversations, so we have to film it.
Right, naturally.
Right, naturally.
My hands were tied.
Nowhere else they could have had that conversation.
Y'all remember that guy? The fucking Starship Troopers changed my life, man.
Yeah, that was wild.
Wait, I can shower with women and Dina Mayer is... No, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently that scene was incredibly uncomfortable, and the production staff made it more uncomfortable by also getting naked.
Well, they bet Paul Verhoeven that he wouldn't do it.
Oh, that's right.
I just realized I was looking at the poster for Forbidden World. They make it a big mystery through the movie what the other half of the alien is, where it's alien and human. But on the poster, they say part alien, part human, all nightmare. I love when marketing gives away the movie.
Well, when you make a movie that you just kind of, you're trying to capitalize on a trend, you know, like if somebody made a knockoff Marvel movie like Power Man, you don't really care about, it's not about the film, it's about the money. But this one, man, this sounds hilarious. So are there any scenes that particularly impressed you in this one or stood out at least?
The makeup for the people who were partially melting was really good. Done there. There's a scene where they communicate with the creature via computer, and they ask it if they can coexist, and it kills the person who asked them, and I thought that was pretty fucking hilarious. It kills them by ramming a tentacle spike through their whole body.
Yep, that's vertically. A pretty clear answer.
Yeah, so... It said, please stand by, and then killed them.
I love the politeness.
It's very polite for it.
Would you kindly?
Would you kindly hold a second?
Please hold. Gets out missile launcher.
It's 77 minutes. It was made for a budget of under $1 million.
That is the correct amount of time, and if you had said 60, it would have been even more correct.
Anytime you have a movie that's from the 80s that's 77 minutes long, do you know why that is?
No, why?
It was played as part of a double feature.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, smart. Yeah. Still, though, that is the correct amount of time for a movie of this, shall we say, caliber, I think. I am intrigued by this movie, Fry. Is there anything else you'd like to...
Oh, boys. You remember some weeks back, we had Battle Beyond the Stars on this podcast. I'm going to quote from the Wikipedia, Forbidden World also makes use of footage recycled from the 1980 movie Battle Beyond the Stars, which was also produced by Roger Corman.
So Battle Beyond the Stars was already ripping shit off of Star Wars, and then this movie's ripping shit off of Battle Beyond the Stars? That's incredible. Yeah. Oh my god. What a pedigree this movie has for our podcast. What a pedigree.
It's just perfect for our podcast. I couldn't believe it when I found it.
Well, I'm extremely impressed. Shall we move on to Russ's movie, or did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, I think I've pretty well covered all the main bits for
I believe you have. Now, Russ said before we started recording, like, oh my god, my movie is a piece of crap. I can't wait to talk about it. But let me tell you, when it comes to crap, I think you've got some competition here, Russ. So, Russ, tell us about your film.
Well, boys, I'm going to take you to the Emerald Isle. Because this is 2012, this is an Irish flick, and this is called Grabbers.
Now, no, when you asked me about whether I had seen this movie, I got it confused
with Tremors.
With Tremors, because they call the Tremor creatures Graboids.
Graboids, that's correct. No, these are different creatures, a different country, no Kevin Bacon. This is 2012, and this is a horror comedy.
Yes.
Very intentionally and very thick on the comedy aspect of horror.
Okay.
We follow two Garda Síochán, the Garda from the Irish National Police, I should say. We have Garda O'Shea and we have Garda Nolan. And okay. Garda Nolan is played by Ruth Bradley. She is the fresh-faced, you know, big city girl who's heading to her first assignment in the country where, you know, she's been used to doing things in Dublin. Did you see Hot Fuzz? You're getting shades of that. And she's on the ferry over and bright-eyed and dewy. And then her partner, Garda O'Shea, is a amazing alcoholic, even by Irish standards. He wakes up with a bottle of whiskey in his hand.
Jeez,
like powerfully. He's sleeping on the couch and he's cradling it as one might an iPad. It's his comfort whiskey. Well, the inciting incident is there's a fishing vessel offshore, and wouldn't you know it, they see as all good creature features start, this one does with a comet, and it enters the atmosphere over Ireland and crashes into the sea, and they misinterpret it as a distress flare, and so they go out to have a look, and wouldn't you know it, they all get eaten. Now, for Act 1, the creature is not seen. For Act 2, the creature is seen a little bit and mostly dead. For Act 3, the creature is front and center the entire time.
Right. That's about standard for a creature feature, yeah.
Yes. The Grabbers are named as such by the town drunk. Would anyone like to guess what the town drunk's name is?
I would like O'Malley. You to tell. Yeah, I don't want to guess. Tell me.
If you were to guess Patty, you'd be correct.
I was trying not to be racist, but I guess this was made by Irish people, so.
This is made by Irish people. Okay. And so the next morning, Garda O'Shea and Garda Nolan are going to investigate a suspicious call, and wouldn't you know it, there's just a whole lot of dead whale corpses. They didn't beach. They were apparently attacked by something. Couldn't have been the Grabbers. And
couldn't have been.
Patty, who is a fisherman, gets hold of one of these Grabbers that he's fished out of the sea and takes it home to his bathtub so that he can hang on to it to presumably make drinking money off of it.
How big is it?
At this point, there's a fucking lead in, isn't it? At this point, they're kind of the size of like a small dog.
Okay.
Okay.
But they grow quite large by the end of the movie.
What do they look like?
Think of an octopus.
Okay.
Cut off the big bulbous head.
Okay.
Okay.
Make the tentacles a whole lot thicker.
Okay.
Give it the jaw of Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors.
Where is the jaw? At the top, or?
It's located where the jaw on an octopus would be, but it's a lot bigger.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
That's an interesting creature. Okay.
Yes. Now, they are capable of locomotion in the water and on land. When they're on land, they kind of curl up and roll, which is super fucking adorable. Particularly towards the end of the movie when they start getting extremely large, it's quite funny because you have essentially the size of a country estate rolling down the road.
You know, usually you and Fry go in different directions, but it sounds like these movies are directly competing with one another.
Now, I'm not going to do anything past about the end of Act Two. So, what happens here is these things are quite lethal, and they feed in a couple of different ways. One, they have a little like tongue that shoots out of their jaw and can impale you and drain your blood. And the other is they can just latch onto your head like a fucking face hugger. Now, they survive. I guess there's an alien fucking biologist who just lives on this island. There's a scientist, there's a boffin, but he seems to know things about aliens. And he tells the audience that they, well, through exposition, that they only need two things to survive. One is water and the other is blood.
Oh.
Now,
we have lots of blood in us. That's dangerous for us.
Well, unfortunately, they landed in Ireland. And there is something that is toxic to these aliens.
Alcohol.
It is alcohol.
Oh, no. Oh, that's hilarious.
So everyone has to get drunk to defeat
them. They find this out because Patty, in trying to deal with his little bathtub monster, is attacked, but he handily survives the attack, and he shouldn't have, because the grabbers have easily dispatched men that are physically capable and not drunk 100% of the time as Patty is.
Right.
And then Garda O'Shea, who is also an alcoholic, also survives an attack that definitely should have killed him. They're like, wait a minute, y'all are drunk 24/7. So what you're saying is, if we get the entire island drunk, we can survive this invasion? Introduce Act 3.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. I know almost everything I need to know about both of these movies. Okay. Russ, what's the runtime on this bad boy?
94 minutes, and when I tell you it should have been 77 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, that is the good answer. I noticed that when you were describing the movie, Russ, you might as well have done air quotes around the word comedy. Now, I have a question for you.
It's more comedy than it is horror.
No, that part's fine. I'm not worried about that. My question is it... Do the intentional jokes land? Are they actually funny, or is it just funnier with the stupid aliens? You know what I mean?
So here's the thing. This is Irish humor. And so there are jokes, but I don't know if I would characterize them as jokes.
Okay.
Because it's sort of like, hello, sir. You're doing tremendous liver damage to yourself. That's funny.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
This is another movie where if it were set in America, the movie would be 75 seconds long, or they would have to empower the aliens quite a lot.
Right, because guns,
they don't have guns. And like when it comes to the final showdown with the grabbers, which are named by Patty, and everyone tries to like dissuade him from this name, but he'll have none of it because he discovered them.
And also he's belligerent drunk.
Like, one of the jokes is that the most powerful weapon they have on the island is a flare gun.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if that's a joke.
I mean, yeah, it could
There's be quite a lot of call-outs to Alien and aliens.
Huh. Another, yeah, so another, we have two... Yeah. I won't call them homages. We have two,
there's
two
a,
movies that heavily reference Alien.
There's a bit where instead of get away from her, you bitch, it's get away from her, you cunt.
Okay, that actually is pretty funny.
Which is pretty Irish.
Yeah. Get away from her, you cunt. Okay. All right. Okay. Here's the thing, Russ.
No, you should watch Fries.
No. I was about to tell you that I'm not going to watch your movie because Fry's movie is a time capsule of 80s terribleness and I want to see it. And also, to be perfectly honest, it's shorter. And in this particular category, it matters because it's like you said, they should all be 60 minutes.
You're well advised because they try to shoehorn a stupid fucking romance in here that does not belong.
Oh also, my God, the worst sin.
I was talking to my wife about this last night. This movie was made in 2012, and it was made for basically no money. Like, the budget I have listed here is $5
million. Wow.
And, I mean, if it costs that, I guess it all went to catering. I'm not entirely sure where that money went.
My assumption is that's barely enough to cover, like, distribution cost.
There's a distinctive camera look, and it's I associate it with the UK because when New Who dropped in, like, what was it, 2006 or somewhere thereabouts?
When
what?
When what dropped?
The new Doctor Who with Christopher Eccleston.
Oh, yes.
Okay. You just said New Who.
You just said New Who, and I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I expect to try to get it. I don't know.
No, it's the new Yoo-Hoo drink.
I thought you were talking about the chocolate milk drink. Please continue.
There was this look where everything was not color-corrected, slightly washed out, and really off white balance. So all the whites came through way too powerfully, and the color balance was off on everything else. It looked really lens flary, but it wasn't lens flares. And I associate it with New Who, because like that first season, up until like midway through Tennant's run, the cameras had this weird look that I guess they just couldn't correct. I swear they use the same cameras on Grabbers, because everything is washed out unless you're doing like deep, deep, deep blacks. And then it looks pretty okay. But any daylight scene looks like you're, I don't know, fucking recovering from a hangover. Maybe that was intentional. I don't know.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I don't want to see this movie. I think Fry's time capsule of crappiness is going to be better.
I'd recommend it.
If not, it'll at least be shorter.
It will be shorter.
Fry's like, it'll definitely be shorter.
I think you're going to enjoy it. I'm really interested to hear your thoughts. I don't think it's going to be a 4.5 out of 5 movie.
No, it won't. I think the best we can hope for is like a 1.5 stars.
Yeah, but I think you're going to have fun watching it.
I think so, too. I think it'll be fun to talk about. And also, you know, it's a little time capsule of an 80s movie. I think a lot of people are nostalgic towards the 80s, but boy, there were a lot of shitty movies. So we can.
The standout of Grabbers by far was Ruth Bradley, who played Garda Nolan. And I feel like I have discovered another hidden gem here because, she's been working since like 2002 or thereabouts, but hasn't quite gotten her due yet. And I feel like it's coming soon. I don't know where it's going to come, but I feel like I've discovered someone early on.
Oh, like as an actress. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope she gets, in movies that are a little more widely distributed. Yeah. All right. Fantastic. Shall we configure the wheel?
We shall.
Okay. Well, we can get rid of creature feature. And I'm going to keep Underworld, and I'm going to replace creature feature with the word phobia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I think that has a lot of legs to it.
I've got You Are Gay and Disguises. I'll stick with that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to stick with Medieval Europe and High Fantasy.
All right. It's time to spin the wheel.
I love how fries are basically the same category.
Yeah, I know.
Phobias.
Okay.
Right. So I would say go nuts. I have already seen Arachnophobia, so you do not need to select that one.
That's such a good movie.
Yeah. Oh God, it was so much fun. Have you gents seen anything cool lately that you would like to share with the listeners, or terrible, either way?
I haven't seen something, but I've been reading the second book in the Three Body Problem trilogy.
Dark
Forest.
You really took to that, man. I think I only read like the first book.
Oh, the second book is great. You should absolutely give it a read.
Awesome.
They do a big time skip to get, you know, because it's like 400 years for the aliens to get here.
Yeah.
So they do a big time skip to 200 years ahead. That's where the second book spends a lot of its time.
Oh, cool.
And it's really interesting stuff, and I'm really enjoying it.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I like about that series is that I'm hoping the second season kind of covers that piece of it.
I don't know how they're going to film the second book at all. Like, there's so much of it that's just, like, the mood of the people changing.
Yeah, but they changed enough in the characters and their connections that I think that it can be done through conversation and that kind of thing.
I hope so. I'm very interested to see how they try to film this. Because the book does not seem filmable the way it's written.
I mean, I thought the first book was basically unfilmable, but then they made the TV series, and I was like, that's pretty damn good.
And they did it by making a lot of changes, so they'll have to do that.
Yeah, which is totally fine. Like, you know, What about you, Russ?
We got this Instagram reel where someone gave Krillin a nose.
Okay, well, what I saw, Dune Part 2, and I really, really liked it. It was really, really good. They absolutely capture that. I would be excited to see, for people who don't know the story or haven't read the books, I would be excited for them to watch to the end of that one and go, wait a minute, is Paul not a good guy? Like, nope, he's going to be an absolute monster. We're just you wait. So it's,
Poor Duke Leo. He's like, I just wanted to have sex with this space witch, and now I gave birth to space Hitler. God damn it.
Oops.
It's, remember that dream I had about massacring billions of people? I decided to lean into that.
Also, I heard tell that Zendaya and Tom Holland are getting married. The joke I saw was, so is she now Zendaya Holland or is he just Tom?
Okay. That was very silly.
That was good.
But I knew
That fucking, when he rides the sandworm, that was, I knew what was going to happen, and that was harrowing.
It was. I was thoroughly impressed with it. I really, really liked it, and I hate to say it, but I'm liking this a lot better than the Lynch movie, and I loved that movie when I was... No, don't. Look. It has its place. It's just not anywhere near as good as this movie.
I watched the David Lynch movie in, how the fuck? I mean, it was probably around the time I started absorbing Star Wars, right? So it's like when you're like 8 years old or something, because that came out in 1984.
Yeah.
And I was born in 82. And so it's like, you know, around that same minute where it's like, now I'm watching Star Wars. I was like, this is a piece of shit. I love David Lynch as a director.
Yeah.
I've made the comparison before. Giving David Lynch Dune is like giving Wes Anderson Star Wars. You're out of your fucking mind.
Okay, I agree, but I would absolutely watch both of those.
I would also watch a Wes Anderson directed Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. That would be amazing.
Absolutely. That would be a hell of a movie.
And the violence would all be really indirect. Like, it would be really boring and slow.
A lightsaber would never be turned on.
No.
Like,
no,
you would just cut never. Back and someone would have a hole through their face, and that would be the end of it.
And Luke would be, like, a whiny little bitch. Oh, both of my parents just texted me simultaneously saying, May the 4th be with you.
Yes.
I haven't gotten those texts yet.
My family kicks ass. And I know my mom and dad are not in the same place right now because one of them is doing like church stuff and the other one is working on the house. So, oh my God. All right. Well, I guess we can sign off. Do you gentlemen have any last final thoughts you'd like to leave with the listeners to uplift them as they go throughout their day? I said uplift, Russ. You've got a smile on your face.
Yeah, Russ.
I was going to say uplift these nuts, but I didn't.
Fry, what about you? Uplift these nuts and?
I hope our listeners have a wonderful day wherever you are, whatever day you're listening to this. You know, make sure you drive by Taco Bell, our biggest sponsor, and get some tacos.
Well, no, it's not a sponsor. Legally, I have to say Taco Bell. We have no sponsors. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Hey James Watch This. Lift these nuts and... Thanks for listening. No, hold on. I'll do it again. I'll do it right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Hey James Watch This. Have a great day, and don't drink bleach.